Chelsea won, Nottingham Forest won. A draw at Stamford Bridge today. We stay fourth in the league, and though because Aston Villa drew with Manchester United. Frustrating game. Nottingham Forest played with a low block from the start, and then when they went to 10 men, they basically put everyone behind the ball. Nevertheless, Chelsea had a lot of chances. Could have scored more than we did. We got the goal with Noni Madueke, who had a really good game. Lots of other chances. Nottingham Forest keeper had a blinder, made some ridiculously good saves. Seems to always happen against us. So Chelsea remain unbeaten, and Chelsea are now unbeaten in six. In well, I can't remember, how many games unbeaten are we? I'll figure that out later. But we're unbeaten. We've got a yeah. We're in good. We're still on our unbeaten run, and we're doing well. So we're going to talk about the game today. We want to hear from you. We want to hear all your thoughts on the game. I'll just do a little roundup of the game and the major incidents in the game, and then we'll get Red and Ramble's thoughts, and then we'll get into some key talking points for the game. So, yes, Maresca named an unchanged 11 from the last Premier League game, and Nottingham Forest they set out with a low block, as we all thought they would. They've been pretty good defensively this season. That's kind of how it started. We were getting a lot of joy down the right with Noni Madueke. He got a lot of chances, a lot of space down that right-hand side. But it was Nottingham Forest who took the lead. With a goal from Chris Wood, who had never scored against Chelsea till today, obviously. A little a mistake from Sanchez, ball into the box, which Wood got on the end of. They went 1-0 up. That was obviously not good. And a lot of people were worried because that meant they could sit even further back. But fair play to Chelsea. We came back from behind yet again. That seems to be a habit that we're building, which is positive. We got that equaliser, a ball from Palmer into Nonny, and it was a great finish from him. He deserved that goal after the game that he had. That brought us level. And then we had a few more chances immediately after that. Goalkeeper made some good saves. There were a few misses. Then James Ward-Prowse, who'd already had a couple of free kicks saved, got sent off for a second yellow card. With about 20 minutes to go, Nottingham Forest down to 10. So Chelsea piled on the attackers. Maresca brought on loads of attackers. He played basically a 3-2-4-1 formation, really going for the win. And, it nearly paid off. We had a lot of chances. We had a great header from João Félix, which he should have put on target. Christopher Nkunku had a chance. Cole Palmer had a couple of chances. We had eight shots on target in the game, 19 in all. So we had enough chances to win. Their goalkeeper made some great saves, unfortunately. And also, even on the break, Nottingham Forest had a couple of chances as well towards the end. And Robert Sanchez kind of made up for his mistakes with two or three really good saves, and which kept the game as 1-1. Overall, I think Chelsea had the better chances and more chances to win the game, and probably should have won the game. But I think Forest defended well. Their goalkeeper played well. They were well organised and probably earned that point. It wasn't that we played badly. I think that Nottingham Forest were just set up really well and got a point. They came for a point and they got it, basically. So that's it. Chelsea remain fourth on the table on 14 points. Now going into the international break after seven games. We're unbeaten in four league games, and we're doing well. I still think, I don't think there's obviously frustration today, but I don't think it's too disappointing. We didn't lose. We might have lost that game last season. I think we might have lost that game last season, 1-0. I don't know if we'd have come back. Maybe even they'd have got a second. So I think there's still progress there. Some positives. So I just want to get a quick couple of minutes from Red and Rambles. Your thoughts on the game? Red first.
So, hello everyone. Frustrating result on paper, but I think considering Nottingham Forest are unbeaten away from home this season and we've still carried on our positive form, obviously it's not a loss, which is, like Score said, and maybe at stages last season, especially that chance that Forest had late on, we could have left today with a 1 or even a 2-0 loss. But I say we'll obviously go through the key talking points in a minute, but the game today was really about momentum. I feel like after either side scored, they had a 10, maybe even 15-minute period where it looked like even more could hit the back of the net. The fact that both sides were really relying on catching each other on the break. I feel like Forest, we all knew they were going to sit deep at the bridge. They seem to do it almost every time they come against us. And I believe it was Alanga that scored the winner last time. I could be wrong.
And, yes, it was. It was. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just feel like we were all just waiting for maybe one of the fullbacks or defenders to slip up. There was a, you saw it with Murillo, he slipped up, and Jackson just couldn't get his feet together, couldn't get his ball, the ball in the right position. And there was countless chances. The one thing I guess you could say annoyed me as the whole is the fact that there was a few chances which you were stood there watching. How did that not reach the back of the net? But all
absolutely,
in all,
yeah,
I just feel like it was definitely something we could learn on score. And yeah, Rambles, have you got anything else you can add?
Yes, frustrating afternoon. Forest, obviously, a well-organised team. You know, it's always going to be difficult against the low block. But again, it's one of those games where we're going to rue the missed chances. And Nkunku should have scored and Felix should have scored. And it was the same against Palace, unfortunately. Missed chances, and we leave the game saying, if only we'd taken them. And I also think one slight downside for me is we obviously got 5 yellow cards. So now Fofana and Cucurella missed the Liverpool game. I just feel there's certain moments in games where we just show our immaturity. I feel there's parts in games where we need to kind of learn to control games better. And one slight concern I've got is that we're still conceding too many chances per game. I think we need to learn how to control games better and see out difficult moments. Because there was every chance we could have conceded a second goal at the end.
Rambles, I can understand your frustration, the fact that we're missing our opportunities and there's a few chances today, like I said, that it should have gone in the back of the net. But surely it's better to see us creating chances and missing them than just not actually creating anything at all.
Oh, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, that's the one positive. You know, if you are creating chances, it shows you're doing something right. It's just a case of just working on picking those chances in the back of the net. But compared to where we were this time last season, it's chalk and cheese. We're just miles ahead of where we were last season. So I think overall, we go into the international break and in a positive frame of mind. It's just always, you know, that slight disappointment, that, you know, when the full-time whistle goes, but you didn't get the 3 points. But I think when you sit back and reflect on the 7 games so far, the positives far outweigh the negatives, as far as I'm concerned.
And yes, that's one of the talking points we're going to get to later on. Well said, Rebels. Yeah, I mean, I think we would have lost this game last season. I don't know whether we'd have got the equaliser, and I think we would have probably conceded a second. That's just a sign of maturity, development. Cole Palmer was very unlucky not to score. The goalkeeper made 2 amazing saves, honestly. Like, there's nothing you can do about that, really. Like, when it just seems to happen as well with Chelsea that goalkeepers come up and play their best game ever against us. When they've been rubbish against other teams, and then they come to Chelsea and suddenly they're the best keeper in the world. It's a bit frustrating, but yeah. Nevertheless, give some good points. Thanks for now. We're going to get on to some talking points. So, like, the first talking point I wanted to is Noni Madueke. So today he got a really good goal, really like, and he had a really good game, lots of chances. Got in a lot of space, a lot of freedom, linking up with Cole Palmer again. Cole Palmer kind of got an assist for the goal, actually. So another goal contribution for him. But also at the same time, he scores these goals, but he can also be quite a frustrating player. He can miss a lot of chances. Sometimes he doesn't make the pass when he should do. He takes a shot on when he should probably pass it. Can be a bit selfish, bit temperamental when he scored. He kind of went to Maresca today and almost like he was trying to make a point to him. So there's like, he's a bit of an enigma because he's got all the talent in the world. And, you know, when he gets it right, he's really dangerous. And, you know, he's got 4 goals this season now. In fact, 5 in all competitions, 4 in the Premier League. And but also, like, and then you've got Pedro Neto, who is definitely knocking on the door. I mean, he came on today and he looked really, really good. You know, he created some chances. You know, he was dangerous down that right-hand side. Yeah, and he obviously, he's in the goals as well in the midweek games. So he's really knocking on that door. So, yeah, I mean, which of the question I want to ask really is, which of those two starts in the Premier League and why?
I'd have to say, if you're basing off Noni Madueke today, he'll get a lot of plaudits because, fair play, the finish was outstanding and it got Chelsea back in the game. And if he doesn't put that away, yeah, like you said, we could have very easily lost this game 1-0. But I think you have to just bring back to his chances on the early stages. There was multiple opportunities where, you know, you can see your name in your lights. You can try. If you've scored the goals that you have, like he did against Wolves, you're more than welcome to attempt them. But I think it was in the first 20 or 25 minutes, he had three chances where he was shooting from positions, realistically, the angle's too tight. And I just feel like, the other alternative just brings more creativity to the squad. I'm a big fan of players having confidence and them actually. Well, I don't really feel you can criticise him though, because he got the goal in the end, and I guess you could say it proves that, you know, if you keep trying, you can reap the rewards. But me personally, I'd say against Liverpool and the system they play defensively, I wouldn't start Noni Madueke.
And Rambles, your thoughts on this point?
Yeah, I really like Madueke. He does so many good things, but he is very frustrating in the final third. And that is something he needs to work on, his decision-making. Because I think all our attacking players are going to be under a lot of pressure, especially with Willian Estevao and Kendry Pyes coming in next summer. So there will be one or two players leaving. So everyone is going to have to up their games and up their performance levels. If I had to make a choice now, I would probably just lean towards Neto, maybe, because I just think he's a tad more creative, and I think that's maybe what we need in certain games.
Yes, and I think with Liverpool next, I think that's we need their defence is very, very good. We're going to need creative players against Liverpool. So, yeah, I'm with you there. Thanks for that. Okay, we're going to have CFC Oz is going to come up. He's requested to speak. And so we're going to try and have a guest up, at least one guest up every time we make a point, every time we have a discussion point. So, I think I brought Oz CFC up. Are you up there, Oz?
Hello. Hello.
Oh, perfect. Hi. So, just on Noni Madueke, and Pedro Neto,
yeah.
Who would you pick and why?
I honestly think Madueke still has enough credit to start for the moment. I don't see a Neto coming, starting the game, for example, and just attacking and going for the defender. I just don't see him doing that from the beginning. We can ease him in with more games to come, but I think for now, especially with the goal today, we just can't argue. Like, Madueke has to start against Liverpool. Hopefully he's fit. But yeah, I think he still has enough credit to start. I think we're very unlucky today. Extremely unlucky. Any other day, we'll win easily 4-1. But compared to where this same stage last season, much, much better. Last season, easy 1-0 loss. Easy last season. But I'm happy we scored right away after the first goal, but very unlucky. Their keeper, just, I don't know what happened. Every time someone comes up against us, it just becomes prime Buffon or something. But unlucky, very unlucky. But still in it, still fourth, I think. And I really wanted 3 points before the international break. But great goal from Madueke. Palmer is... Palmer, I think... I worry for Palmer, actually, because he's being overworked. We really rely on him. I don't see Felix helping him yet. And same thing for Malo Gusto. For his standard, I think he wasn't that good today. And I worry for him. I think we're in danger of making the same mistake with him than Reece James. He's been overworked, Gusto. And we really need Reece James back so we can give a break to Gusto. He looked very tired today. I don't know about you, but for his standard, he looked a bit below average today.
Yeah, I think the international break is probably coming at a good time.
Yeah.
And not everyone, I don't know how many people are going, not everyone were going to international breaks, I don't think. Some will withdraw and some will just not, haven't been called up. And hopefully we can get a few players rested.
Yeah.
Hopefully our players don't get injured or don't play much in the international break.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yes. Thanks for that. That's good. Yeah, good.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for coming up. And we've got, we're going to get to our second point in a minute. Oh, we had Louis and he's disappeared. So we'll hopefully get him back for the next discussion point. And I think I'll just finish on in terms of my view on that, on the whole Nonny, Pedro Neto debate, is they're both good players. They're both worthy to start for Chelsea. I think it just depends on the team you're playing. And today, probably Nonny was the right decision. And well, it definitely was because he scored, and probably could have scored more. Against some teams, it'll be Neto. Against some teams, it'll be Nonny. I think that Neto might suit Liverpool better, but that's obviously not my decision. That's up to Enzo Maresca, and he's getting a lot of things right. So I think we can trust him to make that decision. So great, good stuff. Louis's back. We'll get him back when we
score. You know, you said obviously it depends on the opposition. Would you say that Nonny Madueke best suits low block and almost Pedro Neto is almost the more offensive teams to catch him on the break?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, we've seen the games that he started, we've been playing on the front foot. You know, they haven't really been low blocks. We've been able to get on the front foot and he's really been able to run at defenders and get crosses in or have shots or whatever and get in the penalty area. So yeah, I mean, I would probably start him against Liverpool because you need a bit of intelligence. You need a bit of maturity probably against Liverpool, especially away because it's going to be not an easy game at Anfield. And you know, we shouldn't expect to win necessarily. We should expect to compete and to try and match them and maybe at least get a point. But I mean, you know, they're in amazing form. So it's going to be difficult. So I think you need somebody who's a bit more mature, I guess. And Neto is a bit more mature. His decision making is better than Nonny Madueke's at the moment. Nonny's decision making could improve. He's still young enough that could improve. You know, I'm a fan of Nonny. I love Nonny. I think he's fantastic. And I want him to do well. So it's one of those things. I call it good problems. It's a good problem when you have got two players who could both start in a position and are both good enough to start and both performing and you've got to choose between them. You know, it's better than like having two players in the same position who are both out of form and you don't know which one to pick because they're both equally poor, right? So, it's a good problem to have, I think. I just have to trust the coach to make the right decision. He's the one that sees them on the training pitch. He's the one that does the tactics. So, yeah, we've got to trust him. And like I say, he's doing a good job so far. So we need to trust him to make those decisions. So, yeah, good question.
100%. I feel like I hate to use a cliche phrase, but after international break against Liverpool, it could be a season-defining clash because let's say we did get a positive result against them. That really, I think that changes everyone's thoughts about the Chelsea side, considering the bad press that they got to start with. And then considering if that would be happening, it would only be losing to Manchester City in the first eight or so games. That would be quite an impressive statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more about the Liverpool game. If we can somehow get a draw or a victory there, then it really would change the thought process regarding Chelsea and the project.
Well, yeah, that is, I mean, if we play well and win that game against a team that have won, well, I think it's, what is it? They've won eight and drawn one of all their games so far under Arne Slot, I think.
They lost at home to Forest.
Oh, yes, they lost at home to Forest. Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they? Yeah, they did.
That's the only thing they've lost.
Interesting, isn't it, that they lost to Forest? So, and we drew. So, we've done better than them against Forest.
Yeah, it's six wins, one loss, I believe.
Right. If we go there to Anfield and get a win with a good performance, that is a huge, huge moment for this team. And people will start paying attention to us then. You know, really start paying attention to us. If we don't win, I'm not too bothered because one, Liverpool are more developed team than we are, more experienced team, and they're a really good team. And it's away. It's at Anfield. Anfield is very difficult. We haven't won at Anfield. I can't remember the last time we won at Anfield. The last time we won at Anfield was in the League Cup, I think, when Eden Hazard scored that absolute wonder goal. And that was, what, 2018? So, you know, if we don't get a win, I'm not going to be disappointed. But I just want to see us play well and, you know, not make any stupid mistakes and not concede any stupid goals. And try and at least get a goal and be in the game. And if they get a close win or it's a draw, fair enough. But as long as we put in a performance and show how good we are, I'm going to be okay with that, because our season doesn't depend on how well we play on the result of that game. You know, Liverpool are probably going to finish above us. They're even further above us now, I think. So yeah, next season is when I go there hoping to win, really, really hoping to win. But if we can do it now, yeah, it'll be huge.
Score, I've got quite a damning statistic, and I don't think you're going to want to hear it. So the last time that we did was in the League Cup with Eden Hazard, but since then we've played them, I'm just trying to get it correctly, I want to say almost 20 times, and we've beat them twice.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, yeah, exactly. That kind of coincided with one of their best spells for about 30 years, to be fair, and one of our worst spells for quite a while. So, yeah, but generally we've had a decent record at Anfield generally, but recently we haven't. And we got a 0-0 draw there under Graham Potter, and we should have won. We got a 1-1 draw there under Tuchel, and Reece James got sent off for no reason.
Across 2022 and 2023, it was 5 0-0 draws in a row.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we can get a draw there. I think we can. Maybe a 1-1 draw. But we'll see. We'll see. That's 2 weeks away.
So,
lots to go before then.
Louis, obviously, we're saying that we want to try and progress. We want to try and be fighting near the top of the table, and next week will prove that. Based off today's performance, would you say that we've got the capabilities to actually create more from the chances we're getting? Because especially against a 10-man side, you would have thought with all the minutes added time, you would have found a way to walk away with 3 points today.
Look, I think credit needs to be given to Nottingham Forest today. And obviously I know a lot of people are going to be frustrated, but Nottingham Forest came and did what they needed to do. The difference is what they needed to massively hindered what Chelsea have been good at for the past few weeks. Chelsea, whenever we've been on the ball, have really been able to sort of get in a rhythm and then get ticking. Forest did everything they could to disrupt that today. So if there's any blueprint for a side to beat Chelsea this season, it's been laid out by Nottingham Forest, and credit to them. That's why a lot of people are obviously very annoyed, saying that feels like a loss, et cetera, et cetera. Look, these results are going to happen this season. You know, you've been touching on how you want this team to grow and all that sort of stuff. And no, that's what these games are going to be. They're going to be the growing pains. We've seen it happen with Liverpool, and happen with Arsenal. You know, these are the two sides which realistically are the models for this Chelsea team. As much as they're saying they want to be like Manchester City, we are years away from even having that conversation. We can't even really talk about Liverpool yet, lads. It's, you know, it's only been 20 minutes since the game ended. So, you know,
I think we got to Liverpool because I was saying which of Nonny and Pedro Neto would you pick for that game and why? And that was the talking point. I want to know your views on that, because I know you've got. Yeah. So what are your views on that, Louis? Let us know.
On Nonny Madueke or Pedro Neto?
Yeah. And why?
I mean, it depends. Why? I mean, for me right now, it would be, I mean, Nonny Madueke is just, he played really well once he got his tail up today, which I think is a big thing. And obviously we're talking about how Enzo Maresca sets up his sides. It's very clear that he has a first 11 now and a second 11. And Nonny Madueke right now is the shoo-in on that right-hand side for him. He scored today when Chelsea were really struggling. I thought that he was actually the most involved player in a lot of points today. And, you know, he's probably going to start for all those reasons. I think that his decision-making could still do with work. But again, he's young, he's raw, and that's only going to come with game time. In terms of who he'd be up against on that left-hand side, you're really looking at probably Andy Robertson, and you're going to want a player who's on a bit of a purple patch to probably go and try and get a result there. I think that, you know, he today, in terms of how Noni Madueke played, I was frustrated. I was more frustrated with Jadon Sancho. It's not Camberwell Park anymore. You know, you're not in the cages. And it really, really got to me on several occasions when he felt he needed to do an extra step over or an extra fake or a little turn rather than make a simple pass and get into the right space so they'd be effective in the game, which is what he's done so well over the past few weeks. He's not overdone it. He's not overcooked it, which is my biggest criticism of João Félix as well, which is why he's not anywhere near this first choice 11, because he overcooked it. For me, I would probably go Neto on the left and I'd go for Madueke on the right. Obviously, it's not what he's going to do. But, I mean, I was looking at Jadon Sancho today and, you know, look, I'm all for playing with entertainment factor. I'm all for playing with a swagger and an arrogance. But I'm sorry, today he didn't do anything which showed me he should be staying in that starting 11. He should have come off far earlier than he did. He was actually hindering the team. There was a lot of moments where, I think the biggest one for me, open goal, he was on the edge of the D, and instead of looking up, you know, all he does is he looks down at his feet and tries to do 500 step overs. And he did it again there. He did a Cruyff turn. So what are you doing? Look up. You've got an open goal to have shoot at. What are you doing? I think that drove me up the wall. I don't know if you could tell by that reaction.
No, so Louis, the one thing I really want to segue into is because the main talking point I really kind of wanted to suggest from this game is it felt like in the first half especially, there was almost a sense of attacking greediness. I just feel like our wingers, rather than trying to find an option, they just overcook it, like you said, and maybe just try and go alone when that's really not what we could do against Forest.
I mean, I think Noni did that quite a few times where, you know, he tried to go near post when he really could have maybe gone for the far post or fizzed it across the box. But I think that's an age thing. With him, that's definitely an age thing. He's not played as much senior football. Jadon Sancho is just Jadon Sancho. You know, that's what he signed up for. We saw it at Dortmund. You know, I've seen it when he's played for England. It's great doing a few step overs and, you know, knocking it between someone's legs. But, you know, unless you're doing something with it, it's a waste of everyone's time. You know, it strikes me as, you know, he's very much a compilation player, you know, and having coached football enough to see those sort of players, I've been watching enough football to see those sort of players, I'd not gonna lie, if I was Enzo Maresca, I'd have given him a right bat around the ear hole today. I'd have gone, mate, you are, unlike Noni, you've been playing senior football for a long time now. You know, it's all well and good playing with a swagger and arrogance, but you need to back it up. And I mean, Noni, fortunately for him, did back it up today. I think that's a big thing we were talking about in the preview pods, me and Dan, is that Noni Madueke really, you know, aside from that purple patch at the beginning of the season, really started to slow down and simmer down. But then today he backed it all up again. So, you know, I think there is a greediness. He'd be someone I'd be saying to him, you can't really have a go at him, but it's because, look, mate, well done getting the goal. But come on, seriously? You could have looked up several times, you know. There are players in the box. I think Jackson, he almost gave up because he knew he wasn't going to get the return. You know, he was trying to sit maybe more in their eye line on the edge of the box rather than being, you know, in there and causing the problems. You know, Cole Palmer floating around, always being an option, always being available, never used. Now, these guys have shown their skills. They've been shown they can be silky, but they can show, what my favourite thing apart about the past few games with them is they've shown that they're silky, but they've made those passes to then showcase their skills even more. Okay, so they do the step over, they make the pass, they create the space, they get round and they do it again. And it looks amazing. But this is very much like, you know, the greediness today, it had, you know, a resemblance to, you know, probably the past few years where we've seen, you know, players get to the edge and just not do anything with it because, you know, they hadn't looked up, they hadn't used their heads. But you know, bottom line is, this is like I'm saying, like, I'm annoyed at those things because it's simple football. I'm less annoyed at the result because, again, I thought that Nottingham Forest played very well. They showed how to break down this Chelsea team. They used the dark arts well. The referee probably needs to get a new watch. That is one thing I will say. But you know, I thought look, there was some mistakes made, but that's what this year is all about. We were saying it when we won 4-2 against Brighton. So you've got to keep that consistency and say, well, look, even if it's a 1-1 draw, we're Nottingham Forest, the side which are playing very well. Yeah. You've got to use this opportunity to grow.
Absolutely. Well said, Louis. Well said, Louis. Yeah. And definitely that frustration with Sancho today. I agree. Sancho has got 3 assists in his last, and won a penalty in his last 3 games, but he wasn't like that today. And yeah, well, he's got 2 weeks with Enzo Maresca now because he's not playing international football. He's not in the England squad, so he'll be at Cobham with Enzo Maresca. So I'm sure Enzo Maresca will have plenty of time to get his message across to him. Let's hope he can. Right, so we've got somebody else up. We're gonna go and move on to our next point. And this is what I wanted to actually be. I think we've talked about this a little bit already, but why do people think we seem to struggle against low blocks, right? We do. We have done for quite a long time. So why do we struggle against low blocks like today? Like, what is it about low blocks that we just doesn't seem to matter which players we have in our team? We've had a load of different attackers in the last few years. We still struggle with these games. And also the other question, the kind of sub question, are there certain players in our squad that you prefer to have playing, that you would say suit playing against low blocks, and ones that maybe don't? And should we rotate our team accordingly? So let's talk about that. We've got BTNT here who's going to talk about that in a minute, but we'll just get Red and Ramble's thoughts first.
So, yeah, just to start with, I feel like Nicholas Jackson much better suits a low block side. From what I've seen, especially when Nkunku came on today, he had that big opportunity. I'm not going to slander him for that because everyone could have one opportunity and miss it. But with Jackson today especially, I feel like he was making the runs and opportunities, and Louis said it perfectly. He gave up because he just knew he wasn't going to get the ball, but it's nice to have that intention because it's almost the same runs that I remember. Well, I know a lot of Chelsea fans slander him, but I remember Timo Werner when he first signed, he was making these runs. Granted, he was offside for almost all of them, but he was finding himself in the right spaces. And I feel like Jackson has this sense as well, where he knows against a low block, he can find himself an inch or two of space. But yeah, the only other player which I really feel works well against a low block is Madueke, because yeah, we've mentioned it multiple times today. He just keeps trial and error until he does find that bottom corner almost.
Interesting. Good point, Fred. Rambles, what are your thoughts on this question?
Yeah, well, for me, what we've struggled for the last X amount of years against low blocks, I think we've all struggled with like creative players. We've obviously got that with Palmer and Neto's creative. But I think we've struggled for several years since Diego Costa left. We haven't had that clinical striker. And I think in these teams, when you're playing against these teams with a low block, you might only get 1 or 2 chances per game. And those are the games where you need to be clinical and you need to take that chance when you get it. And for me, we're still that top striker away from being that really kind of up there with the top teams.
So you think that, I'm just going to use an example. I'm not saying this is happening or anything. Say we signed Victor Gyökeres, right, in January, right? You think someone like that in a game like today maybe scores a chance?
I think so. And I think if we had Victor Gyökeres or maybe Victor Osimhen, I think we would have scored some of the chances we've missed this season. I think against Palace, I think we would have taken one of those chances. And today, they take one of those chances we possibly missed. Because as good as Jackson is, and I rate him very highly, and I think he's got a great future at the football club, he's just not a clinical striker. But he does bring so much more to the team. But there are certain games where you get very few clear-cut chances, and you need that fox in the box who just sticks it in the back of the net.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good argument.
I also saw something very interesting before. I don't know if you've seen. I think it was Transfer Market posted it. The goals and assists from the last 10 years.
Right.
And Cole Palmer's all... Hang on, I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah, I know the thing
you're on about now.
Yeah. And the only striker on there was Diego Costa. And it, it just got me thinking, you know, in the last 10 years, Diego Costa is the only top striker we've really had.
Yeah, that's
true. We've really struggled with that.
He literally joined 10 years ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, you're right. I mean, that's quite a terrifying thought, really, when you think that Diego Costa was only at Chelsea for, what, one, two, three, four seasons?
Yeah.
Three or four seasons? That is quite an incredible stat. And although, I mean, like how high Palmer is on that list already is a testament to how good Cole Palmer is as well. Another assist for him today. That was another. And really, and to be honest, that was a really good ball in for Nuno Madueke to get that goal.
I also think signing someone like Gyökeres or Osimhen will help raise the level of Jackson's game, because I think he will realise, hang on, I'm under pressure now. I need to start producing better, because I think added competition always helps others raise their games.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've seen that already, I think, this season. I think the fact we've got more competition in attack has raised the bar in attack for players to deliver. I think that has been one reason why our attack has improved, because we've got such quality in depth now that it's making a difference. And I agree. I think Jackson as well will benefit from not having to be the man up front and not having to carry the team, not having to, like, you know, to carry that position by himself. I don't know who we're going to sign, but I do think we need that finisher, like you say, who just, you know, when they get a chance, they're going to score it. Like, and that with Diego Costa was like that. You know, I actually remember watching the first game with Diego Costa at Chelsea. And he has scored with his first chance. And I remember saying, that's what we didn't have. Like that. And we won the title that season. Anyway.
Speaking of Nicholas Jackson, he could be in a little bit of trouble, according to Nizar Kinsella. There's a video going around, appears to show him slapping Nottingham Forest defender Morata.
I heard this on the radio. They're mentioning Nicholas Jackson and hitting someone or something, like, you know, maybe you'll get a, you might be suspended for Liverpool. But we've got Christopher Nkunku, so I'm not as worried. But yeah. But Cole Palmer, just to tell you his stats now in the Premier League, 7 games this season, 6 goals and 5 assists. So he's having another really good season. Even when he doesn't score, he's contributing. So, you know, that's fantastic. We've got BTNT up, I think. He's still up. BTNT, let us know your thoughts on this topic on breaking down low blocks.
Thanks for having me. Hope all's well. I hope everybody can hear me. The low block things is always one of them difficult ones. I mean, we do have to do better in it. Mind you, I have to also give Nottingham Forest credit, because the low block that they deployed, they did an excellent job at it. You know, they closed down the spaces, they kept it tight. So as much as sort of we want to be scoring against these kind of teams, I do have to give credit also as well. They did do a superb job in their low block. That wasn't some done just trying to throw a bunch of players behind the ball. No, that was an organised system. That's Nuno Espirito Santo. You know, he did that at Wolves as well. He knows what he's doing in this thing. So I have to give credit there. As for us breaking them down, it is a bit of an issue. We've seen that in previous seasons. It's very complicated, because it depends on what kind of chances are we looking at creating for one, and then also using those chances. You know, if we put in crosses, and I thought a lot of the crosses were not very good in this game. We see a lot of crosses go in, and even if you have a physically dominant aerial supreme centre forward, it's pointless if the ball just sails over his head. You know, the crosses have to improve a bit. I thought, like, sort of Madueke did a few that were going a bit too far, and Neto similarly. If that's what we're looking at doing a bit more for these low blocks, we do need a more area dominant centre forward, because Jackson is not that. He's not somebody that is area dominant. You're talking of the players or something. You're talking your Osimhen possibly. You're talking other strikers that are more dominant centrally in that style for crosses. But the crosses also have to be hoping for it. With James' return, that would sort of help that aspect as well in terms of the quality of crosses. Moments also that I felt with Madueke kind of beat his man, and I did notice that he was looking for an option, but he didn't see one quite. And I think it's one of, sadly, Jackson's worst habits, is that he is somebody that lifts off to the left. And if Nolly is getting past his player, he needs somebody that's coming towards him, not away. And I noticed that sort of on a couple of occasions that Jackson does like to drift to that left side, and Nolly sort of is going through, and he does look up, but he doesn't see a realistic chance, at least for him, to get the ball to Jackson. He needs him to actually come close, come towards that near post. And then he does at times some, you know, at one point somebody said that on the commentary I was listening to, that was a scuffed shot. I think actually just scuffed across or something. But there isn't that player. Like, there needs to be somebody a bit more centrally. I like Nkunku, but he doesn't seem to be the best in headers. We've seen that this game, there was that beautiful chance he had. I think there was also the chance, was it against Brighton, that he was one-on-one with the goalkeeper, pretty much the same thing, and the goalkeeper got it. So, yeah, I'm pretty much playing with my Swiss card here, in that I don't know exactly how we deal with the low block. But I think it's more than simply a strike or something, unless we essentially focus on that central striker dealing with crosses, good crosses, and he does it in. But yeah, we could also, we have time to be creative and to play it through. But yeah, it's sort of, you know what I mean? I'm waffling on a bit here after feeling.
Well, thanks for your points, though. I thought it was a discussion worth having, because it's something that we've struggled with in the past. And this is really the first time we've really faced it in the Premier League this season. I've just seen the saves that their keeper made from Cole Palmer, and I'm honestly unbelievable that, you know, that they were world class saves. You wouldn't expect most keepers to save, especially the second one. You know, and sometimes you can't do anything about that. That should have been a goal. You know, and it wasn't Cole Palmer's fault. It wasn't that he's a bad player. We know he's not a bad player. It was just a really great save. And I'm tired of keepers having the game of their lives against us at Stamford Bridge. Seems to happen way too often. They play rubbish in games leading up to playing us. And then as soon as they play us, they start playing like Peter Cech. So I don't understand it. But thanks, BT&T. So we'll move on. And we're going to get other people waiting to come up. So we've got other things to talk about. I think Robert Sanchez is a discussion point as well, because today he could argue he was partly responsible for us conceding that goal, but then he made at least two or three really key saves, which meant that we didn't lose the game. And that kind of sums up Robert Sanchez. He can make elementary errors 1 minute and make absolutely top class saves another minute, and can come and claim the ball well, and yeah, organise people and things, and does things well, and then he makes these odd mistakes, which is probably why he long term won't be the Chelsea's number one. But bearing in mind, you get these two things when you get Sanchez. You get the mistakes, but you also get these great saves sometimes, and you get sometimes these great claims from crosses and things like that. Like, should he be number one against Liverpool?
Score.
Or else you get in a chance. I think it's an interesting discussion just because today, literally, I mean, like, if he doesn't concede that first goal, we might have won. But if he doesn't make those saves at the end, we might have lost. So, yeah, Red, your thoughts?
Score. I understand we have to be hypothetical, but realistically, I don't think we can be considering other goalkeepers after the performance today. I was thoroughly impressed with him. I feel like he was one of the best players on the pitch because, granted, okay, there might have been the slight mistake for the goal, but when it actually comes to the finish, there's nothing you could do about it. It was deflected effort went into the bottom corner. And some of the efforts late on, I'd say he arguably made some better saves than the Nottingham Forest keeper because Matt Selves was making some great efforts. But was it, I think it was Nico Williams, whoever it is that had that strike, that was aiming for the top corner and he somehow got the upper echelons to save it. And yeah, I was thoroughly impressed with him. I just feel like he deserves to have his flowers today because he's finally getting to make the saves, which he wasn't making previously. And he's really leaning into this trust that's been given up on him. And against, for example, the keeper in midweek, he conceded two sloppy goals. Maybe Sanchez would have conceded that as well. And you really got to bring your defence into play when it comes to conceding. I agree with that. But yeah, 100% Sanchez, for me, is keeping his number one spot for a long time.
Good arguments. That's a good argument. I mean, I wasn't asking this because this is what I think. I'm trying to raise some discussion points here. So, yeah, it's interesting because I know a lot of people on the timeline were blaming him for the first goal. And I've seen a clip of the first goal. And I see what they mean, but like you say, I don't know if he was entirely responsible for it.
I fully agree. I wasn't being hate on you. And I just saw a lot of people on the timeline saying, oh, how's he not got down to that? I'm like, it's literally a blistering effort in front of his face, which has been deflected further down. I don't really see how you can berate a goalkeeper for not getting his glove to it, considering he's done it multiple times, even that game, let alone in the last few weeks.
Yeah, that's a fair argument. And Rambles, what are your thoughts on Sanchez?
Yeah, for me, Sanchez is going to be one of those keepers where he does amazing things and he can do the most ridiculous things in the same game. I think for now, he deserves to keep his place. And I think overall, he's made a more positive and negative start to the season. So I think for the time being, unless he does anything drastically stupid, I think he will keep the number one spot. But I do think heading forward into next season, that's when they'll be looking at this guy really does need to be replaced and we do need a better number one.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people are saying, is that, you know, that Sanchez will do us for now, but long term we need to sign a top tier goalkeeper if we're going to challenge for, say, the Premier League title, right? And that's an ongoing debate at Chelsea. I don't think we'll be signing a keeper in January. But if we're able to buy players in the summer, you know, it depends. And it depends on the rest of the season, really, on how Sanchez does. So, yeah, that's fair. And then we've got Vince up. Good old Vince. We've had Vince is a regular here. So good to have him back. Like, what are your thoughts on, like, the goalkeeping situation and, like, Robert Sanchez and how he did today?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Redford there, that I mean, today he was phenomenal. He made a couple saves that I think very few keepers in the world make, and that's just the Robert Sanchez experience. Like, some days he's going to look like Jan Oblak, and then some days he's going to look like Morris Karius. Like, literally, it's one or the other with him. He very rarely just has, like, a mediocre game, but I thought today he was really good. As he said, you know, the goal was very, very, you know, a bit unlucky. I think it's hard to pin that on him. And yeah, he's got to definitely maintain that number one spot. And just quickly to go back to what someone said earlier about if we sign, you know, Victor Gyökeres or Osimhen, I don't think if we sign Victor, we would be the victor in this game. I really don't. I think that this was a draw either way. And look, as you said, their goalkeeper looked like Jan Oblak today. Their goalkeeper had the game of his life, and it probably should have been 3-1, 2-1. And also, we're not on Man City's level. We're not on Arsenal's level. We're not on Liverpool's level. Like, let's give this team time to grow. Let's give Jackson time to grow. He has 7 goal involvements in 7 games, 4 goals, 3 assists. Let's give this team time to gel. I do think it would be a mistake in January going out, splashing big money on another signing. And also, Nkunku was supposed to be that guy. He was supposed to be that world-class striker. And look, he's battled injuries and barely had a chance to, you know, get a run of games in the Premier League. So he might be better than those guys for all we know. I mean, look at his form at RB Leipzig. He was every bit as good as them and really just hasn't got, you know, a chance in the squad. But I think overall, you know, it was obviously a disappointing result, but I'm not worried by this performance. I'm still, you know, behind Maresca 100%. And on the Sanchez thing, yeah, I mean, he's hit or miss, but today I do believe it was a very, very good performance. As was said, I do believe he was also, you know, one of the best players on the pitch. And, you know, if we had a poor performance, you know, we could have lost that game as well.
Yeah. So fair points there. And I've just had a look at some of the stats for Robert Sanchez. His save percentage this season is 74%. And he's very high in all the metrics for crosses collected, sweeper actions, throw passes, and saves as well. So, and shot stopping value added, which is a stat. So he's very high on that. So yeah, I mean, the stats are pretty clear that he's having a good season. And I would definitely have him as our number one for now. I think he's earned that. And today, I mean, you're right. Some of the saves he made were incredible. And even right at the end as well. He didn't lose his concentration at the end of the game. He kept it right to the end and ensured that we didn't lose, you know. Because although I thought we probably didn't have to win, they had a couple of chances. So, and you've got to keep those out. And he did. So, yeah, flow play to him. In terms of the attacking, yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, I'm a big fan of Nicholas Jackson. I think Nicholas Jackson is an excellent footballer. I do think we need another striker, but I don't know if we need someone who's going to come in and take Jackson's place. But we need someone who can come and compete with him and maybe a slightly different profile so that if we have to deal with different kinds of opposition, if you need a different profile of player to come on and change things a little bit, it's useful to have that, and we don't have that really, because Nkunku isn't that different profile of striker, although he's an excellent player and he's an excellent finisher. And he is a different profile to Jackson, but he's not that kind of target man profile that you can bring off the bench and get crosses in towards the end of the game, for example, right? So yeah, good points, Vince. Good points. I think on balance, Sanchez played well today. I don't think we should judge him on the goal that we conceded, like Red said.
Were you disappointed by Enzo? I mean, I feel like this season, like he had that one wonderful game where he had like a 20-minute spell where he looked like the best midfielder in the world. But defensively, does he ever win the ball back? It's like Caicedo's he's the only one who wins the ball back in midfield. And what did he provide going forward?
I don't see Enzo as a defensive player.
But the thing with Gallagher is he would do that hard work defensively, and he would also give you basically that attacking outlet as well. Like, I just feel like Enzo's a bit one-dimensional, and he doesn't have the end product. Like, he makes these beautiful passes, but rarely do they end up in the back of the net. I don't think he's giving us enough, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of his, and, you know, I saw him play it. I watched him play at Benfica. I watched him at the World Cup. That player is still there somewhere. It doesn't disappear. I think it's finding that role for him, and I don't know what's happened really with him. His passing range is excellent. He was good at defending when he first arrived, but that seems to have disappeared a little bit. I wanted to see Lavia come on today, but he didn't. I'd like to see him start some games soon, because I think he was great against Manchester City. Came off early and has been injured since. I think he needs more minutes. I think, yeah, absolutely. And of course, Enzo will be playing international, so it might be worth starting Lavia against Liverpool, because he'll be fresh. And I think him and Caicedo are a good partnership as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think he deserves a few minutes. I still believe in Enzo Fernandez. I still think he's a big talent. I think he's just, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on what it is, if I'm honest. But you're right, some of those criticisms are fair. And he's got to kind of face up to them. And maybe he does, maybe he needs a break from the team. Maybe he needs that kick up the backside of being dropped to just get him back to his level. Maybe there's a bit of complacency because he's starting every game, every league game anyway, without fail. And maybe he needs a little kick up the backside, you know. Yeah. So that is a good point. What were your thoughts on Rambles, on Enzo Fernandez? I mean,
yeah, I'm a big Enzo fan. I think he's a great player, but I still don't think, for whatever reason, we're seeing the best of him. Maybe he has been overused, as you say, with Lavia back now and Lavia having the international break off. Maybe he should be starting against Liverpool. Maybe he does need to be playing more minutes and we can give Enzo more rest. Because I think sometimes we kind of overlook how much travelling to Argentina but back and forth, you know, for international games does take out the player.
Absolutely. I think him and Caicedo both have to travel a long way to, you know, for internationals. And it is, and you know, I've done a lot of long distance travel in the last couple of years, and it does take it out of you. It does. It's very tiring. If you've got to travel for, you know, nearly like, if you've got to do like an 8-hour, 9-hour flight or whatever, and then you've got all the travel around that, and then you've got to train and play football and then do that again, it absolutely does take it out of you. And South American players have that issue all the time. And, yeah. And that is, I'm sure, and he's played a lot of international football. He's played a lot of football.
And I also think that's one of the reasons Lavia was brought in, because they do want two players for each position. So we can afford to rest and rotate players as and when needed.
Yeah.
And I think now, hopefully, Lavia can have an extended run of games about injuries, and we can rotate the three of them.
I don't think Lavia got called up for Belgium, did he? So,
I don't think so, no.
He'll have 2 weeks to train and, you know, and get himself really sharp again. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if Enzo, you know, plays him against Liverpool, just because of the travel stuff with Enzo. And also, of course, with Moises, Caicedo, but Caicedo's been playing pretty well. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get Lavia, Caicedo against Liverpool. And Lavia, I think Lavia is absolutely capable of that. I have a lot of faith in Lavia. And he's a Joe Shields pick as well. So, you know, we know how good Joe Shields is at picking that talent. So, yeah, absolutely good. Yeah, that's really good. So we're coming to the end. It's now the international break for 2 weeks. So there won't be any of these shows for a couple of weeks. The next one will be for the Liverpool game. But the Chelsea Echo will continue to produce content. Go and check out the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. We have a really good team there, and Louis and other people, we're all producing content and lots of Chelsea related content, and that will continue. I'm sure there'll be a match review there soon as well. So keep your eyes out on that. Thanks to everyone who's contributed today. We've had a lot of good speakers today. Some good discussion, about Chelsea. Chelsea now are fourth in the league. Spurs are winning against Brighton, which puts them sixth and only 1 point behind us. So they're still behind us. Fortunately, so we need Brighton to draw that, so that's because, you know, it's Spurs. So yeah, anyway, we're in a good position. We're in good form overall. 7 games unbeaten in all competitions, 4 unbeaten in the Premier League. Definitely doing better than we were last season. Definitely improvements from last season. Enzo Maresca's doing a good job, I think, and we can feel positive going into the international break. So thanks everyone for contributing. Thanks everyone for being part of this. Just final thoughts from Red and from Rambles.
Yeah, just quickly before Rambles says anything, I just want to say thank you yet again to everyone else that contributed today. I got a really back up what Score said. It went really well today. I think we've discussed every issue about the Chelsea performance and also anything that we could have potentially queries going over to international break. But strictly sticking to the performance and what happened on the pitch today, I feel like on paper, you can say it's frustrating, but I've seen a lot of positives. I think a lot of people have proved themselves, and we can really start to see, a bit like what Louis said earlier, who is our concrete starting 11. You know, we haven't really got to think about Liverpool yet. A lot of things can happen over international break, and, you know, football is never 100% certain. And yeah, I feel like we could have got more from today, but the complete other side of the coin, if the same saves weren't made on our behalf, we could have easily lost it as well. So yeah, I'm quite happy with the point. And Rambles, what do you say?
Yeah, I think a tad disappointed with the point today, but I think overall, I was certainly heading to the international break feeling really positive about the season so far. And I think, yeah, we're in a much, much better place than we were last season. And I think overall, the positives far outweigh the negatives. So yeah, I think we can look ahead, you know, in a positive manner for the rest of the season.
Well said, Rambles. Well said. And I share that. And I feel very positive about the rest of the season. I think we're in a good place and we will keep improving. So again, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks everyone for contributing. It's really appreciated. Keep following the Chelsea Union for more great content. We've got a great team, like I said. And yeah, thanks everyone, and up the Chelsea.